So, good afternoon, everyone. So, and welcome to the 7th CISS meeting here in Trieste and online. So, my name is Mario Reale, and I'm coordinating the 6th since a few months ago. And I work at Adjunct in the Research Engagement Office.
Are you sharing your video?
Yes, now I'll start sharing my slides. Present them. I have basically a very short introduction, and then I'll leave the floor to the speakers and the discussions. So basically, I give it a second for the presentation to be loaded. It's taking a bit of time. I don't know why. So let's try. Go back to the presentation. Okay, now I need to go back and share. Okay, I think we made it, hopefully. Right, so so this meeting is both online and here in Trieste, and these are, okay, first connection information. I wanted to open the meeting just by sharing news that I think it's nice, and you know, it's why we work in this domain, to be excited by informations like this, that for the first time somebody went over the exaflops, operations per second, and this is the news from the end of May. And apparently there is a new system that was set up at the Oak Ridge National Laboratory. And basically they went over the barrier of the exaflop in practice. And, you know, just for the fun of it, I'm just sharing this video. It's a video. Okay, well, don't ask me the details of the architecture of the system. It was just, you know, sometimes to share excitement with you guys, just for the fun of it. So today we have an agenda that basically starts with the updates from the NRENs. What I basically ask around if NRENs wanted to present about the cloud activities, and we have like GarnGRNet, which responded. So we will have Claudio and Costas basically presenting what's going on at Gar and GRNet. Then Guido has kindly accepted to provide an update from the CS3 Mesh for EOS project. We will have an update from the OCR project at at 3 o'clock. Then we will have, after the break, a vendor session where basically Huawei and Dell will present, sorry for the question mark, that's a mistake. Dell will present the hardware and cloud platform with an emphasis on the storage. And then we have 20 minutes in the end for discuss. So this is the agenda again. In a few minutes, I'm done with the introductions. Then Claudio will report about GAR, what's going on there, Costas. And thanks again for accepting to present from remote. Costas will present on the GeoNet cloud activities. Then we have Dino. We have a 15 minutes free discussion slot that we can use in the way we prefer. I just throw some discussion items that we might want to start discussing in this first slot. And then at 3 o'clock, Monique Pilinkov from the GM agreement team will report about Ocran. And there's a vendor session in the afternoon, as I already mentioned. So, okay, of course, the meeting is recorded. Please mute while you're not talking. Ask question at the end of each talk or via the Zoom chat. When we resume somehow the activities of the steering committee, which is made by Guido and Machin, Claudio and Jan, I think, basically gave us some inputs on what to do, starting from rebuilding the community. It's a bit harder than it might seem because, I mean, we need to be willing to share experiences about operating the cloud. And probably the hype and the moment where we were all, you know, struggling with OpenStack is a bit over now. And for our benefit. But I mean, still, we need to understand what is useful to share. And I don't think we already have a full picture of how to structure the idea of sharing experiences. Then, of course, the focus that the steering committee recommended is about operating and using the cloud, irrespective of whether we buy or we build. So let's focus on this, operating and using the cloud. And then, of course, other suggestions were like contributing upstream to open source projects rather than engaging in developing things ourselves, and evaluate the possibility to jointly work on a proof of concept of interest. In the meanwhile, you know that there is a community cloud part in this SIG that proposed, came up with a white paper about possible activities that could fit into a community cloud task, into the community cloud task, and throw some ideas on things that could be done together, like prototype the operation of services. I think, Claudio, this will be discussed in the BOF as well, right? There is a BOF, a community cloud BOF on Thursday. So I'll basically go very quickly to this. These are some ideas that were, the NRENs that are building clouds that encourage us to consider as possible common items for joint work. So working on implementing workflows, define a common framework for user registration with integration authorization, and again, identify interesting POCs, for example, IRETs or persistent identifiers and storage, and work on what is missing from the open source solutions that we usually tend to use when we build clouds, like, for example, accounting. So this is, I think, my last slide is a few discussion points that I humbly suggest, but of course we are totally free to discuss about anything today. We don't have a lot of time, but we have some time. So the discussion point is, why are NRENs not so keen, at least apparently not so keen anymore, about telling in general what they do on the cloud? So this is my impression by running this So do we need to act on this, or are we happy with the fact that people have apparently less tendency to share about operating their clouds? I mean, maybe it's a natural process. It's just that we have to live with that, with respect, you know, to when this thing started. There was a discussion item that our Red Iris colleagues brought to the attention, to our attention, is about large scientific file transfer. So they develop a solution based on Aspera, and then the question is, could we now, instead of using a proprietary solution with the community Aspera, which makes use of UDP to transfer data, anything, another discussion item is anything new with respect to the user requirements? Is our user requirement changing? Are we still tracking the right user, in the right way, the user requirements from our side? And then, of course, what could be discussion topics for other SIGs? And question five is a naive question I had, let's say, to myself. Is OpenStack still central to our work and, you know, the main source of inspiration for building our infrastructure, or is there anything else we might want to consider? And is there any POC we would like to work together on? But I mean, this is just suggestions, guys. If you want to discuss an item, just propose it and we will go for it. Okay, without further ado, I think if somebody has specific questions, I would leave the floor to Claudio to report from where. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Claudio Casapisa, and I work at GARD, Italian Research and Education Network.
Presentation.
I think it's already.
It's already. Okay.
Yeah.
Full screen. With the window, it's full screen.
No. Surprise. So this one is really a bit annoying. GAR is the Italian National Research and Education Network. It's connected to IGEAN, and it runs a high-speed network that connects more than 1,000 locations. Connects more than 45 million users, which are researchers, students. It does this with 15,000 kilometers of optical fiber, and it observes around 460 petabytes of yearly traffic. Click. So in the distributing computing and storage infrastructure, that is what we are running in our department at GAR, we have an infrastructure of more than 11,500 cores, 90 petabytes of RAM, 16.3 petabytes of storage, 333 teraflops of GPU computation, and all spread in over five data centers in Italy. So the main services that we run are span from the infrastructure as a service to the software as a service. So we have a cloud platform based on OpenStack. We have a container platform based on Kubernetes. Then we have what we call deployment as a service, or DAS, which is, I will explain a bit later. It's something between a PaaS and a SaaS, something between platform as a service and software as a service. And then we run also some only office instances, which we call GAR Workplace. So we are observing a steady growth of our user base. And we see people coming from many communities that are connected to the GARD network. Most of all, universities and research centers. So what is the GARD Cloud Platform? As I was saying, it's infrastructure as a service. It's based on OpenStack. And it has an EduGain authentication and replicator and erasure coded storage, which is self-based. And also we have object storage. And we have these figures, more than 1,400 virtual machines, 7,400 virtual GPUs, and so on. You can see the numbers yourself. Don't make me read them all. And right now we are deploying, we're rolling out new hardware and new networking in different sites. So we are renovating the hardware. And one thing that is part of our objective as the GARD Cloud platform is to create a federation. So the idea is that research centers, other organizations that wish to, that want to install OpenStack at their premises, can federate the resources with the GARD Cloud. So they get our support from us, they get our knowledge, and they get also our authentication system, so that the burden, the management burden on them, on themselves is less, okay? So we have this federation in mind. And the other thing is that everything that we do on the GARD Cloud platform, we make it open source and publish it so that other organizations can replicate our model. And this is already happening. And also we contribute a lot what we can upstream to OpenStack. So we are also open source contributors to OpenStack. Then another service that we run is the GARD Container Platform, which is based on Kubernetes. And it provides GPU resources and also uses Ceph as storage. And it has, it takes its authentication from OpenStack. So it avails us itself from the OpenStack authentication so that the users can use their EduGain credentials also on Kubernetes. And right now we are migrating from a bare metal cluster to virtual machine based cluster, which is more manageable, we hope. Yeah. And then we have this deployment as a service, which is a graphical user interface to install applications on the GARD Cloud platform. So it's based on Juju, which is an orchestrator by Canonical. And you can choose the application that you want to install, say, I don't know, WordPress, Moodle, whatever. And with a few clicks, you can install it in your OpenStack project at the GARD Cloud. And then we have also this service, which is GARD Workplace, which is some cloud office that has some spreadsheets and documents and presentations. And we have quite some users also here. Also, we are quite involved in the European Open Science Cloud. So we are involved in the EOSC Association, in the EOSC Pillar Project, H2020 in ENEAS Project, and Skills for EOSC Project, which is starting now. And also we would like to run a PID service in the next month. So we are involved in GN4.3 Task 4.3. And we are involved also in Gen 5. However, when we were discussing about Gen 5, we found out that perhaps the point of view of the community clouds was not fully represented. So what we did is that we gathered some other NRNs which were running community clouds, and we tried to, let's say, consolidate a common point of view. Click. Okay, so we created a common document which has the point of view of quite a few NRNs, which is RNet, CESNet, CSC, GAR, GRNet, KIFU, PSNC, Renater, SUNET, SURF, and Switch. And so we explained which are the drivers which are driving our building of community clouds. That is, for example, digital sovereignty, use cases with strict requirements such as medical research. We have EOSC somehow. And also sometimes there are interoperability issues or data sharing issues. That is, we don't like siloses. And then we tried to draft some proposals to work together. That is, we thought that we could exchange know-how on operations and security, also to create a sort of toolkit to allow other organizations to set up their own community cloud, and also to implement some EduGain or EduTeams federated authentication on every community cloud. The last slide.
Just another is to provide slide control to others. I don't know what's going on.
Just click up the time.
I am sorry.
Ah, oh, there it is.
It's last slide. I don't know. Brute force.
So this is just some self-promotion. We'll have a lightning talk tomorrow at 2 p.m. About the GPU virtualization. Then we will have a talk on the GAR cloud, which is much better than the one that I did today, Wednesday at 9. And then we have the community clouds operators, Bird of a Feather, Thursday at 6 p.m. And also, if you look around, you should see a poster that we did. And you can find us at the GAR booth, which is number 20. And that's it.
Thank you, Claudio. Thank you. Time as well.
Great.
Of course, are there questions for Claudio from the audience or from remote?
I've got a question related to the choosing the container platforms for GPU virtualization, but I understand this will be explained during the presentation tomorrow. Right?
Yeah. So on Wednesday there will be a more, let's say, extensive presentation of the GAR cloud. I don't know if you have specific questions. I think I can answer.
Yeah, them. Yeah. I think we okay. For okay, just out of curiosity, my question was if you had any preference on and clear, like request from users on certain to install and virtualize certain kind of GPUs, like let's say NVIDIA 800 or something, or if you choose this by yourself, and I'm wondering how did you choose it, but we can skip this discussion for after tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, so I don't think there are additional questions. So thank you, Claudio, also for such timing. Kostas, I think you, I'm not sure, I don't think you have a presentation. Or if you have it, let me know. I thought you want
to- No, I don't have a presentation. I only have a couple of words to say. In a sense, I'm more in favor of a discussion. And to be honest, most of what we do is already public somewhere else. Or in even the Genet website. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Kostas Koumadros. I'm head of the unit for strategy and proposals in the infrastructure department of Genet. In general, what I do is I try to see what all the infrastructures doing within Europe, how they're planning, what is the strategy, try to align, find calls that are for proposals regarding that, I participate in almost every, let's say, big infrastructure that exists, namely EGIs and EUDAT, and Janet is obviously a member of all of this. We are also a member of EOSCON, the, let's say, initial members, not the founding member, but one of the first members to join. From then onwards, Janet in general is an integrated electronic infrastructure service provider with a mandate to provide support and high quality infrastructure services to the academic, research and education community of Greece. We try also to link this with all the global infrastructures, and GRNet offers an integrated in the environment of cutting edge technologies. We provide infrastructure and technology support to academic and research institutions, also to educational bodies at all levels in Greece. Lately, we've been expanding also to agencies for the public sector, which can be a pain because they are a completely different type of crowd, and they expect the services to be there no matter what. It's not an academic world where, you know, if things fail, things failed. In the public sector, if something fails, it becomes public and in a very wide public way. In the last, there was a law back in 2019 that named GRNet as the main infrastructure service enabler for open science in Greece, i.e. we are the service provider for service and resource provider for all academia in research education in Greece, which is a big task for us and a big mandate. Since 2010, we've been operating a cloud infrastructure which at that point spanned like 135 racks, 1,800 servers, something like 7,000 virtual machines, roughly 5 petabytes of storage. That was based on our own, let's say, implementation of OpenStack called Cinefo, and the service was named Canons. It spanned quite a few data centers already, and we have also now running three different instances in parallel. One of them is a small one, Okeanos Global, which is for international users, which is getting, it's at the end of life. There was the original Okeanos, which was quite big, and then a new version, which is Okeanos Consortium in a different data center, mainly because we ran out of space in the other one. We are sort of struggling to migrate to OpenStack, not because we cannot run OpenStack. We've been running OpenStack in a small data center for quite some time now. The main missing functionality we have is that Cinefo was quite user-friendly in the sense that it provided, through a small workflow or wizard, the capability to create one VM with specifically configuration easily without much knowledge of what happens behind. OpenStack and all the OpenStack interfaces require quite some know-how from the end user. They do provide a bit more capabilities, they do provide a lot more functionality than we did. But for the simple, researcher or student, it's a bit daunting for them because they need to create the network, they need to create the ports, they need to do a number of different things. And to us, this is a bit tricky how we can, because we are targeting a mass, community of which is the research and academic community in Greece. And without, it doesn't have that much, know-how. I also participated in the community paper that Claudio just presented before, just a second ago. And to that extent, GRNet is, currently investigating the idea of a hybrid model to provide cloud services and, be that Kubernetes, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, specialized services, and others. We are planning a quite big investment in our infrastructure, which is something like 40 million. That includes also the expansion and renewal of our network equipment in general and in our backbone network. It includes an investment on a big HPC system, renewing the existing one, and also cloud and storage resources. We do operate a quite a big Kubernetes service, which is named Genet Abstract. This is mainly used by for government services. It's not actually, it hasn't been applied yet to academic or resources, mainly due to lack of time, but it's one of the plans to do so. And in general, Genet is quite, let's say, a strong believer that we should maintain the know-how. We should maintain quite a few services, critical services within our data centers. This is why we are investing in both hardware and storage. But we are also investigating the idea how we can, say, outsource the mass users or mass communities towards the commercial cloud. And having said that, we are trying to figure out a way how we can maintain control of what they use or what they offer. We don't want to say, okay, go and buy from Amazon or Microsoft or whatever with these tokens. We want to provide them a uniform way to access resources, and then we have the opportunity to just say, okay, your application or your workload implies that you don't want something very demanding. We can send you up, you know, to this in the service. So we are trying to, we would like to achieve that way where we can offer a service which is, regardless where it runs, it's completely seamless for the end user, whoever that might be in Greece. That's my two cents, a couple of things I want to say just to get the conversation starting. I believe that the idea of having, let's say, a group like this where we can exchange experience, know-how, be open about the problems and the issues we face, what are the difficulties we want to overcome, it's something that can be quite useful for GAR and also in EOS in general, the European research area. I believe in building communities where communities are open and want to exchange their know-how. I don't know. I don't see Mario anymore, so I guess
I'm quite large. So it's thank you so much, Kostas, for your very interesting and let's say original contribution to the SIG and the discussions. Are there questions that even if Kostas made just a sharing of views like this? Anybody has questions to Kostas, otherwise we can carry on and then, as Kostas suggests, then discuss in the discussion session. Anybody with a burning remark or question about what Kostas report? I just wanted to ask you one thing, Kostas. So is it correct to say that the requirement somehow massively grew for GeoNet about having the PA as customer? Is it my impression, or is it correct that you are now increasing the size of your user base?
It's a bit mixed in a sense. In 2010, when we released the first Okeanos, we made the risky, opening to be open for every student or academic in Greece. That trained a number of, labs, organizations, or students to understand that GeoNet is the provider for free cloud services. The huge buzzword here is free. Mm-hmm. And the mistake we did back then is that we didn't allow them to get to put a time constraint on that or something similar. We were just giving, here you can take about 10 VMs and play with them.
I feel guilty when you mention this because we have one VM still running on Okeanos. But I understand, but it was a.
That was a hard lesson to learn because time management in these machines is quite in the services is quite critical, especially when it comes to storage. VMs is something you can survive without. Yeah. So as I said, at some point we need something like running something like 9,000 to 10,000 VMs concurrently.
Yeah.
That meant that our security team had to be on top of everything and monitor the network if something, not the not legal or blessed was happening, which took quite a few. Because the major issue there is that you give a VM to someone, that doesn't mean they follow all the best practices to make that VM secure, or that they keep on doing that after a while. Quite a few VMs that exist out there, they're just were there for a demo, did what they needed to do, and then got forgotten in time, and nobody had the courtesy to just shut them down at some point.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, sure. I still get these annoying emails from a certain Claudio Pisa from GAR that asked me to check this VM. What's going on with that?
Security scan.
That's good.
Yeah, but okay, Claudio.
Yes, mine is a question about the technologies that you're using. So you're using OpenStack and Kubernetes, right?
No, we are mainly using our major, let's say, installation is based on Cinefor, which is an OpenStack implementation, in-house OpenStack implementation, which is built upon Ganeti. The problem is Google dropped Ganeti at some point back in a couple of years ago. And so we are now moving to the, we are planning to migrate all our services to an OpenStack, let's say, based, since now there's a full-blown framework. Now, bear in mind, back in 2010, when we started this endeavor, there was no OpenStack implementation at that point.
Okay. Thank you, Kostas. Thanks again. All right. So let me check how we are with timing and the agenda. So, right. Yeah, so we have actually Guido to report about CS3 Mesh for EOS. I think everyone knows Guido in the SIG, but he can. Okay, you wanna?
That's a way to set me up.
You wanna? Okay, I'll open the slides.
Got slides? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I need to leave, however, so I will just see the recording afterwards. Thank you all.
Thank you, Kostas.
Mario has my contact details. If you need more information from me, just ask him.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's in the root directory that starts with my name. What was called that? Gina.
Okay, if you can find
it. Self-service. Scroll down, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's fine.
G.
Ah, okay, sure.
My goodness.
Yes. Okay.
Got it.
Where is it?
There. Up.
Sorry.
Up. Stop. One down. That one.
Yes.
What a weird first name, huh?
No, I learned.
How the hell do you spell that? Hey.
Oh, come on. You can't do
this. What the hell? What are you saying? Do I accept this?
looks real dodgy. Yeah, do I?
Accept.
It's your computer. I don't.
Not like that.
Yeah, exactly. I feel tempted.
What sort of test is this, right? Does he accept?
All right, you guys are lucky. I've given myself way too many slides, but I have a hard stop at 3 myself, so I'm going to have to somehow figure out how to deal with these. There are too many slides. I'm just going to race through them. The slides will be made available afterwards soon. Give them a look in and ask some questions if you have them. So the CS3 Mesh for EOS project, or trading name Science Mesh, because we are very bad at giving things names, is a project between NRENs and science operators like CERN, who run an EFSS, which is the Gartner term for an enterprise file sequence share service, which you guys know probably better as OnCloud, NextCloud, CFile, etc. Good number of us have been running these for quite a while, and it turns out that of the various cloud offerings that you can provide to users, this one is natively successful. It spreads by word of mouth. And after a while, we began to figure out that we were meeting in these bots, and it turns out that we've had the same problems and challenges after a while. It turned out that we were mostly building and hacking the same things, so harmonizing the infrastructure seemed like a reasonable idea. And a lot of us were trying to give access to data sets that other people had in their EFSS. So there's two reasons to harmonize the infrastructure. One is make sure that you build and buy the same
the same things on top of the existing data. And the second one is make sure that you don't copy data sets, but make sure that you simply link to other people's data sets. So we pitched this whole thing to the European Commission, and lo and behold, we got it, which is a shocking moment. You know, what the hell did we promise? It turned out it was quite a bit, but you know, 6 million euros gives you quite a bit of wiggle room to implement these sorts of things. So the point is, we're trying to build a mesh. We're not trying to build a new architecture. We're trying to mesh together all of the nodes, harmonize the infrastructure as far as is necessary, but keep it decentralized so that regional choices, science infrastructure node can still be made if you need to run it on particular storage hardware, which is faster or cheaper, whatever. We just want the interfaces to apply. Quite a few of operators that you might already know. So it's broadly carried, and we're getting more interest from other entities as well. If you find yourself not among these and you'd like to be in among them, do drop us a line. We don't mind broadening out the platform. It's just like we can't really spread the funding around too much, much more thinly. It's already down to like one FTE per instance. The way that we're federating the data sets and user energies at the moment is probably more down to earth than you would expect. It would have been nice if something like an overarching identity management system had been put in place. And there are, of course, candidates from JL being one, from EGI has one, check-in, what's the general one?
Teams.
Edge teams, precisely. It turns out that what we're trying to do is still a little more advanced than what these entities do. And we had 3 years, so we had to kickstart something. Does not mean that we don't want to integrate those sorts of solutions down the line, but if you look at what the workflow looks like right now, it's still very much handle-based, almost email-based, and based on an invitation workflow. At the same time, because users are not entirely used to this mode of federating their data, putting extra control in users' hands where they explicitly have to go, yep, I recognize this particular user, and people still recognize each other based on email address, that kind of works. And so the super crude terms, the architecture underneath the ecosystem, you simply get that off the shelf. You get an own cloud, a next cloud, you might hack it, but the point is it's off the shelf. The yellowish bit is the principal thing that we're hacking, which is an interoperability platform that uses ideally uses all of the APIs made available through the EFSS, and then abstracts them out to the rest of the world in a formalized, firm manner. Some of the vendors are even working with us to do this standardization, to the point that the next iteration of UnCloud implements its APIs by running our interoperability platform. It's actually quite the achievement. Super happy there. They've gone like, why would we do all of the external API definition when you guys bring along the constituency that wants to use it? So that's quite good. The orangey bit, tomato, whatever the hell that is not so much code, but community practice. That's, take for instance, the example of Eduroam, right? Turned out that the tech was only 10% of the problem. Building up a community of people who do that federation, talk to each other on a regular basis, and agree that keeping it running is very important, is necessary, is a sine qua non for users to begin to trust the technology behind it. So that's supposed to be paper, right? We've got some white papers, we've got some governance documents, so we're actually building that. It's a toss up which of the two is more important. I'm actually believing that the left bit is more important because the right bit we know how to do. You know, we know how to go. The left bit is hard. Left bit is culture. And then on top, we will do a few of these, proving that you can now write workflow on top of this new substrate. We're going to do a few. We're also going to reach out to Eric's, S3's, you know, science communities to say, look, we've got these APIs now. You guys can stop building the VRE at a higher level. Your VRE, your virtual research environment, no longer has to deal with data and sharing and account management and all of that corrupt, because a lot of VRE development spends a lot of time doing those lower layers, often, I won't say failing, but often doing a dog's breakfast of it, and not actually running it in a means, in a mode that is operational. That typically ends after 3 years. They never get really good at it, and they don't have the incentives and the career paths to get engineers on board to run VREs at these lower layers. So the point is the highest layer of the Maslow pyramid is that blue bit. We want to reach out to research communities and go, trust us, we will be running this for a long time. These APIs are stable. It's not that interesting, but so OwnCloud are the greatest supporters of what we're doing here. The Nextcloud, we're finding ourselves happy to hack quite a bit to make the Nextcloud people believe that what we're doing here is a good idea, that taking a back seat a bit. CFAL are very interested, but they are a Chinese run company. They tend to keep their cards a little closer to their chest. They're not being this open about what they develop seems to be, they have to get used to that way of thinking of things. But I'm actually having a look at the code, they're actually quite advanced. This is one of the first iterations of what the physical thing looks like when you look at it. This, you actually get presented this as a user. So we have some GUI stuff. It's not all command line, right? If I present things to you, it's not just the shell. And there's that accept button that I was talking about, the yellowish thing. I might go for time very badly. The four main building blocks of what the project is like, I guess, the four blue bits that we're trying to present to the research community that we're building in the blue bit. One on making the whole stuff fair, which is the second one from the left, which is, happens to be my work item. One on running Jupyter notebooks on top of the system, which is data science environments, fancy term. One on essentially integrating open only Office and other Office suites. There's a number, Overleaf, you might know a few of us, are trying to talk to them so that they understand that there are APIs and so the whole thing can be run in a more naturally inclusive way. And the fourth one is making all of these nodes understand that if you are sharing data, then you can also do the data transfer underneath, like under the hood. The user doesn't have to do all of this by hand and dragging data sets around. That's a virtual move, and the actual physical movement of the data set gets handled by the protocols underneath, so it's faster. Because when you happen to be commanding all of the architectures at the different nodes, why not do that sort of orchestration on behalf of the user? I'll have to be really quick about this. This is what the Jupyter notebooks look like. They turn out to be bloody useful. It's one of these things that users just pick up themselves. You don't have to explain to them what they are. It's already in production at CERN. So their implementation of running the Jupyter notebooks on top of the EFSS already operates at CERN. And they're packaging this up to make it more easily installable. The open data workflow is it's trying to package slides will be made available. It's trying to package all of the data inside of the EFSS, including metadata and including a proper research creating environment. We're using our approach. Then this is what these open data on top of the platform look like. And this is the first iteration of doing data transfers on top of the platform. So for the moment, we're standardizing on using three different file transfer methods underneath, handing off to either rClone or FTS or Rusho. So depending on what between two nodes you can agree on to run, that's what it gets handed off to. Almost everybody knows how to run an rClone, so that's a reasonable default. But some people have higher requirements around data traceability, and FTS and Rusho, particularly Rusho, are better candidates, but require a bit more effort to set up. Yes, this one only works in the shell for the moment, but it works. Yep, so we're busy bringing on extra entities outside of our core constituency, focusing very heavily on science cases. So if you feel like if we haven't reached out to you as an NREM, don't feel neglected. It's just that this is the harder point to prove. We have NREMs knocking on our door already going, okay, you missed us. Can we be part of this? And we just point them at the GitHub and off they go. Convincing research communities is much more of a trust building exercise, but it seems to be working, which is another proof that we do have a GUI. Why am I so long about that? Yep, so very much not trying to build a beautiful folly and then drop it after 3 years and move on to the next thing. As can do as we can, so using existing code as much as we can, using existing. So we've learned the policy, for instance, is heavily copied from Eduroam and Edugain because we didn't want to invent a new one because that's a pain. The point very much being looking at what users want to use and not hitting them with this one is more beautiful. You shouldn't be using this or that. Noise. If that's what they're using, make sure that it works. Yep, so dealing with stuff heavily involving the vendors too. Again, not trying to build their own platform and then dumping it and going, nobody seems to want to use our stuff. Nope, that's not the point. And actually actively engaging with a number of our eyes. This is it's just a couple of selector, but these are the ones, these are the most active ones. Elixir actually wants to do stuff with us. And we've just begun talking to Envy Fair, who want to use that data movement stuff. So the coming science cases knocking on our door rather than the other way around. I'm so not used to that. So it's great. Clearly, we've done something useful to them. Now we just need to deliver, just scary in its own right. Done, unbelievable. Links, give us a ping. So the basic bits of the architecture are really easy to run. And if you have time, if you have like a few engineers, if you have a few engineers left. But suppose you do, and you're looking for a new thing to run, running an uncloud or an xcloud or a cfile is relatively easy and it's so rewarding. It really is. And know that you are being to tap into community knowledge, and we are harmonizing this architecture, so you won't be running it by yourself. It's been in isolation for a long time if you decide that this is a useful definite job. All right, Notch, questions?
Thanks.
So you define
to work with Latin America? I do now. I do now. We do. Brazil have been historically strong at running one of these, but then a couple of years ago, they hit a bit of a funding constraint and canned one and built another. And so I'm talking to. So bad names. So we have been talking to the Brazilians.
Yeah.
I'd love for them to come on stream again. They told me that they're keen to do that, but happens to struggle through a few things. But anybody else who wants to, there is not just, so this is a full-flung project that actually physically does things in collaboration, but there is also a conference series, the CS3 conference series, which is slightly more open door, where anybody can join. The last few have been online, obviously, but we're planning to do a physical one next year, January, probably, because they're always in January. Entirely welcome to come there. Every year has had the conference proceedings bundled up and made available online, so you can look at those as well. So it's very, very welcome, yeah. Like I said, this just happened to be 6 million euros, and we had to develop, and we only had a core group. So it's not, I'm not trying to diss people by excluding them, it's just, are you trying to get me out of the cathedral?
No, I think you just did something like forgetting about sharing the screen. So
because they want to see other people, of course. Yes. And Milan, did I do that right? Milan says that they're part of the project.
Sorry. I mean that's probably totally useless, but
well, so long as they can't see me.
Sorry, Dave. Just read your email. Forgive us.
Nobody would make it better.
How is that a compliment?
Yes, this.
The least. You know. Thank you, Machi. Machi, also a part of the project. So we have a PSNC, Machi, Cisnet, Milan. Questions?
Yes, perfect.
You're all week. So ping me if there's any questions. You'll make the slides available?
Of course.
Good. Yes. Sweet. So, good. And now I have to listen to the EC. But actually, really encouraging development in that the European Commission dropped their procurement notice, where they're pointing out that they want to buy some of these substrate services. They're not making it super clear who they want to buy it from, but at least they want to take some ownership over making sure that this gets spread out to the community. They may even use community services to spread it out. So compared to 7 years ago, where everybody was, well, the market's basically one, you should stop. So I'm about to listen to them. So
thanks, Kino. And
who's they
in the European Commission? Oh, sorry, it's part of the DC Connect,
yeah.
Inside of the European. Was that a quiz question? Are you? Yeah, DC Connect. It's the advanced procurement notice is public, so you can look it up and see what they're planning to do. But of course, it contains, this being not the actual procurement, it still contains very high level language about what they want to do. Now we need to figure out what they actually want to do. Right. I'll be back in half an hour, by the way.
Thanks, Guido. Thank you. So, right, Monique, I think in a few minutes ahead of schedule, it probably doesn't make sense to break now. So, I'm just opening your presentation. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So now we have Monique Pelinkov, who kindly agreed to provide us with an update from the Ocre project. I swear I won't forget to share screen this time. Thank you.
Cool, thank you.
Yeah, presentation.
Do you speak in this or
no,
is that
not no, great? It's fine.
Okay, perfect.
I will just put these while you talk to the closer and then I will put them.
Hello, people at home. Hello, people in the room. So my name is Monique Pellenkoff. I'm the procurement specialist at Géant. I'm actually kind of multitasking because we have a huge everything about Okra session and the other room. So I'm just kind of doing everything. So this is actually the slides I also used in the other session. So I don't know if you want to send it like this. So we will tweak it maybe because I'm not going to present it all, but just a short while. So I also was the one just that asked who is they, because, well, I am actually doing the procurement as the procurement specialist. Well, on behalf, actually as an assignment from the European Commission on behalf of institutions, research and education institutions in the OCRA framework. So, no, so this, no. Yeah, slideshow.
Top right, yeah,
slideshow. Here, right? Here, yeah. Here, go. Okay, yes, okay. So they, the European Commission promotes, going forward, right, with this usage of the cloud service, they would like to stimulate this. It's something additional, right? Something new, something extra. It's not that new anymore, but for some of the people here and some of the people at home, it is quite new. So what they like to have is more bespoke enhanced compute and storage solutions. So they actually want to help out research and education within Europe to stimulate growth, to stimulate developments, to actually, to prevent that cloud and that storage is a restriction for research and education. So, you know, they're just here to help out. And they think, research and education using cloud will be a good solution for the issues we are having. So what happened is that in 2016, the first OCRA framework was actually procured. I was not doing it because I just started a year ago. But what people did it, and what happened is 14 lots have been created at this framework. It has been a huge European procurement. First in 2016, 40 countries, and now also in 2020, another European tender, huge European tender, 40 lots, 40 countries. Pick of your country is actually in there, and in.
I just tried to fix one thing.
So in 2020, there were 473 contracts awarded, divided over about 40 suppliers. And what happened is now we're running the framework with all those framework contract holders for now over 2 years, and in 2 extra years we're going to have a new framework. But for now, this is it. And it's really important that the procurement has been run and all the institutions that are participating in those lots that you just, you know, still see on the map, they are able to...
I'm sorry, don't manage to hide the black bar. Sorry.
Okay, it doesn't matter. They are able to actually use the framework. So the bottom line is no institutions should run their own tender because we already did it. And you can just use ours to... hopefully, and now it's not working anymore, but to actually, what do you do?
Click. I'll get it work.
Here, no, it's not clicking. Okay, well.
I managed with brute force previously.
Good thing it's not me.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it?
So, what did you take? This?
Yeah, I clicked.
Okay.
Yeah, try.
Okay. Okay. So, we run this EIS. So, the EIS Plus OCRA framework, also other word for it. And what we ended up with is a full compliant framework Also covering networks, covering trust identity and security, and the community offer support that make, well, that's not only providing you to have the opportunity to sign call of contracts within the framework, within the LOTS, but also have annual supplier workshops and additional discounting, a waiver of egress. So it is a lot of, in short, the framework, the upper framework contracts provide you the opportunity to we'll have good discounts of cloud services, which is good because it's, well, it's expensive, right? And good, have good terms and conditions, and no egress and ingress and egress waivers in place, so you don't need to pay for that also anymore. Yes. So what is also really important within the European Union, we actually, when we spend money, we need to be compliant with law, regulations, and that's also what we call the EU tendering law. So next to the fact that I'm a procurement specialist, and I'm also a tendering lawyer, and that means that we made sure that everything was compliant with this EU tendering law, because, well, in short, we have guiding principles within the European Union and saying, okay, so we have public money, right? It's our tax money, and we want to, if we spend it, we want to be spending it fair, transparent, non-discriminatory, same chance of getting well, contracts or money, well, just awarded in the end. So this is really good for our internal markets within the EU. And it's also really good to stimulate competition, because we think, well, if you stimulate competition, you will get better products in the end, because people also want to, you know, want to be better than, you know, than the next guy. So this is what we did, and we ended up having the frameworks in place, and behind of the frameworks there are call of contracts you can actually sign when you're interested in actually purchasing cloud services through the framework. And there are several ways in which you can procure through this framework. One of the ways is really simple. It's a direct award. Say, hey, I'm using this cloud services. Can I procure it with the actual discounts and the actual good terms and conditions through Accra? And that's also really, it's possible. On this, we have a contract management group. It's ensured, it's the CMG, and they support you with dashboard. They support you with all sorts of things, monitoring, reporting. So that's also a good thing to have in place extra on this framework. So in short, we have you have the local laws of the environment, the 40 lots again that I just showed you. You have GEANT as a central purchasing body. That's a EU term, a legal term. GEANT acted as well, was purchasing on behalf of all these environments. So, and this is what the framework contract is actually is the result of. In the contract, we actually stated that the contract itself is governed by Irish law. We, as a central purchasing body based in Amsterdam, are actually governed by Dutch for the procurement law, and it's all implemented EU law, right? But the good thing is, if you sign a call of contract within the framework contract, local laws will apply again. So in short, it seems to be difficult and complex, but it's not. So how to procure under the OCRA, under OCRA. So there are three methods. The direct award, when you're already using a platform, it's economically not feasible for you to actually switch. Then you can say, yeah, okay, you know, this is, I'm already using AWS, Google, Azure, and I want to continue using it under the OCRA framework. You can just go directly and say, okay, so I don't have any other choice, so I'm just going to contract this one. But you can also run a mini desktop competition. This is actually the way that you are using the awarding criteria that we used in the original tender. And that's just reusing everything. So you're reusing the criteria, but you're also reusing the outcome. And then you're using the current pricing by using the online cost calculators in place of all the platforms. And you can do a mini competition. That means you're inviting all the resellers within your specific lot and say, I have specific requirements. These are this, this, and this. And please, all suppliers within my lot, provide me your best offer, and then you can score awards, and then you have a standstill period, and then you can sign your contract, and then you're off. So it is really, really easy. I don't know if anybody of you ever did a real big, huge European tender, but this is really easy if you compare it to this. So if you have demand, you can just choose your option and then award and contract. So what also happened is the European Commission, like I already told you, wanted to stimulate the adoption of these cloud services, right? So what they did, they actually provided the project to say, okay, this is 10 million. Can you please distribute this through the framework in a legally way? So what we did, we actually had several things we need to actually fit in our mechanism. So first of all, we had an agreement with the European Commission itself. Then we also had some VIT regulations and rules within the Netherlands, but also within the rest of the European Union we should comply with. Then we have the framework contract, but we also had the institutions that had the demands, right? So this is actually the triangle that we thought of, making sure that we are actually now distributing the EC funding, the adoption funding, in a compliant way with everything, all the rules, all the agreements, and making sure that the institutions is consuming the services. We, as Cheyenne, are paying the services with the, well, with the funding we got from the European Commission. And the European Commission is actually happy with this. And so the project like this is actually eligible for the funds. Really important is that we are paying, we are actually buying vouchers. And the vouchers represent the services that are going to be consumed. This actually is a construction we made to make sure that we are compliant with everything. So it is kind of like a workaround, but we made it work and we're happy. And now we're distributing money like we promised 2 years ago. So what happened in the, what happened last year when I was working on it, I did a lot of mini competitions. They were already awarded. There were projects, they were awarded, and there were 15. So now I actually awarded 10 of the mini competitions, 5 of the Earth observation tenders I also awarded, 2 of the mini competitions, and these mini competitions go back from all the way to 2020 also, are still running. 2 are canceled because we took, a bit long time to actually, you know, get with this whole mechanism. So the projects were already canceled when we started because of the delays. But now I think it's really interesting for you to know that we still have some budget left, yay. And it's a 6.5 million in these adoption funding. And we are also now currently running a big one. So what we did, we combined the process that we did in 2020 and 2021. We made one big process out of it, and we said to the suppliers that are active in the Yoko framework, so the framework holders, we told them, please provide us your best proposal in this regard. So what is now currently happening is that...
I can't stand it, so try to put this top. I think top right is better.
Top right. Okay, I'm almost already through anyway. So like I told you, we have 44 OPER framework holders within the OPER framework active in all the 40 lots. And we told them, so please reach out to your research community within that lot to ask for cool research projects that will be eligible for the funds. So instead of first asking the institutions for research projects, we've asked this and then actually run a competition through the suppliers. We actually asked the other way around, the suppliers to engage with the research community to get out the research projects. So what you have is, a faster process, which we need because we really have a strict deadline now in December. They already got us 2 extensions, which is, it's quite of a specialty because apparently the European Commission do not give extension that easily. So we really are now set on this date to run this. So we're strict deadline, but also it's really good for the suppliers to have an incentive to do proactive sales, because they can tell the research education centers that, hey, if you have a project, it can be paid for you, right? Because these funds are available for the projects to, you know, to pay for the services they want to consume. So we are hoping that all of you are, you know, getting really tired of all the suppliers that are reaching out to you, but we actually know that it's not the case, so that's also good. But I heard there are some good sounds in the other room, so hopefully also with you, that that you know about this, and that you know that there's a deadline, the 7th of June, July, sorry, we're currently running, so well, you still have some weeks left to get to reach out to the suppliers. They're here, and some of them are not, but you can still reach out to all of them within your lot, and then you just have to say, okay, there are some minimum requirements you need to commit to. So as an institution, it's really important for us that you're committed, right? So that you are committed to actually go through it with the whole project. So you're not going to drop the project before the end of the year, and that you're going to provide us with input for the report we need to write for the European Commission. So, but it's also important for us that you're not getting paid for the project by somebody else, right? Because we, you know, if the European Commission is, you know, is they're happy to pay for something, they don't want to have any double funding, as you can imagine. And also to keep it a bit workable for me, we said, okay, one proposal per EU lot or UK lot. So as you saw, the 40 lots, the 40 countries is broader than only the EU and the UK. But the thing is that we need that VIT regulations to actually make the triangle I also showed you work. So the UK harmonized with that VIT regulation. So this is why we are kind of, you know, committed only to run it, the consumption in these countries. But if you are from a different country, you can always reach out to your the research and education institutions in those countries and say, hey, you know, I also have a cool project. Can we work together on this? So this is also what I did with the mini competitions. Good, because, well, it's always good when institutions work together. They, you know, become stronger and better. And also it provides an opportunity to get engaged with this funding activities. So what we did, so these are minimum requirements, meaning you need to commit to this, and you need to be able to you know, explain that this is actually the case. If not, you're knockout. And there's also awarding criteria. So this is actually with weights that we say, okay, you need to demonstrate the adoption and the benefits of the cloud usage within your project. You need to provide a project plan, the sustainability. So in sustainability, in a way that you must think that in a couple of years, is the services still going to be implemented? You also need to, to describe the best value for money, right? For spending public funds, we want to have the best value for it. The suppliers within the framework contract are actually providing me the proposals. We're going to, you know, score an award up to the threshold actually of the 6.5, but this is including VIT and including the Earth observation services also. But still, it's a lot of funding. And then everything that actually falls into that fund that is available will be actually awarded. So this provides the opportunity not for just to be one winner, but several winners. So a proposal can go up to 500K, but can be also 100K because we kind of didn't want to do so much effort for less than that. It needs to be worthwhile, right? But also we want to actually provide the opportunity for suppliers to have all the, you know, the chance to actually, you know, get a project awarded and everybody happy. So we're trying to create a win-win opportunity, but within a strict deadline and also within, you know, some strict minimum requirements, but really understandable because, well, we need to be compliant with law and, yeah, you don't want to pay double for stuff. And representing ethical research, that's also kind of I don't need to explain that. So we are just actually hoping that everybody's as excited as we are in you know, the opportunity to provide this distribution funding. So this is one of the bam slides we made. So think big and be creative. These are, you know, the projects we're thinking about, right? So use the FAIR data, make it scalable, make it sustainable. How are you going to use it in, you know, several years time? And but again, for us, it is important that research community would like to work with cloud, and we're not going to judge your project. We think everything will be, you know, great, especially if you want to work with cloud services, because that's the point, right? The point is we would like to see the research and education community to adopt the cloud services with European funds. That's actually bottom line. This is not important. So I will also skip this, but so any questions? Yeah. Nice to meet you.
So on one of the first slides, I think it was the first slide, there was a mention about the European Commission pushing for buying and not building, something like that.
Yeah, so this is procurement, right? So we're procuring here, so it's buying, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not, we have a reference for that. I mean, it's something that the European Commission wants for all years to do.
No.
Okay.
No, that's also not, that's not about my point. This is just OCRA, right? I'm presenting on OCRA, so it's we're not sure yet, but it's probably going to be, you know, in a way part of EOSC, right? But it's not the same. It's so this is actually a procurement of the cloud services for the research. This is what I do, but the building, you know, somebody else does. And, you know, but this is the commercial meeting, yeah, using this world. It's only that part.
Yes. Would you please go to the first slide?
I don't know. But I will try. Ah, yes.
Working.
Yes. This?
No.
I think so.
Yeah. Consume not here. Yes. That's
it. Yeah. So, again, this is regarding OCRA. We're only building contracts here, but it doesn't mean that there's no building, but not in OCRA, not like that. No. Yeah.
Yeah. I can pose questions again. One is there has been calls for Earth observation for everybody.
Yeah.
Is it something that, you know, might be applied to other domains, or Earth observation was for some reason special?
Yes, it was. Oh. And this is so Dave, are you in the call? So Dave. This is before my time, right? So okay. Maybe if Dave can join the call, he can actually tell us about it. But
maybe I know something.
But Olaf, also in the room.
Thank you.
Maybe I answered your question, why Earth observation is part of this?
No,
and why are you putting a couple of
activities? Yeah, if along with Earth observation, you know, other domains would serve the same, you know.
No, but this requirement, really in the beginning, but at the time, like the project proposals for Oxford were written. Basically, the EC said, well, when we send up all these expensive satellites in space, and we want to create a more European business environment, that they will as means people experimenting with Earth but Copernicus data. So they envisioned an area where the funding would stimulate researchers to use that data, and via the OCRA project, and OCRA project would then hand out vouchers to researchers, and they could spend those vouchers at the companies developing services around Copernicus. So that was the original idea, and I don't think there are any other areas where they traveled.
Thank you all. Another question I would have is just a naive question, like, I hope was naive enough to provide. If you, I mean, I understood, end of June is tomorrow, basically.
July.
But,
okay. You know, the planning is, so the 7th of July, it's going to be, it's now the deadline for the proposals. Here. So I published this the 26th of April, and so this is the Q&A. So normally the Q&A is open for 2 weeks or a month or something, but I continue open it because I would like to, you know, help as much as possible for any questions. So it's still open till the end of June, but I need to also close it because there's needs to be a time that there's no more questions because or else, yeah. It's hard to make a proposal when there's still questions coming in, right? It's like, oh no, we're right, left. So yeah. So this is the end of June, and yes, it is fast. But the thing is, well, it has been open for almost 2.5 months, which is actually quite long. And we have this deadline, the European Commission, and they were patient with us a lot. So we need to have a move.
My question would be thinking of the, you know, six, it's this audience of, you know, cloud people in the end rent, what would be the more effective, you know, way to disseminate, like reaching out to universities or reaching out to specific user communities, or so what can we in this audience do to, you know, help matching the deadline and having enough applications? This was my
So this is what we will hope and still so hoped and still hope that you if you have a specific project, research project, you think this is really relevant. Just reach out to one of the suppliers in your lot. So you can go to the OCRA website, and there's like, you know, the map I showed you. You can just press on your country, then all the suppliers in your lot and in your country actually fall down. And you can just say, okay, I'm going to try to work with one of the suppliers. And then, then just submit your project plan, submit how you're going to work with that, you know, also in the long phase, demonstrate why this is an option. And the best value for money, well, that is actually what the commercial supplier is really good at. So just keep that to them. And so, and this is it, right? And the most important thing within the goal is actually having commitment from the research and education institution, because this is actually my bottleneck. Running the mini competitions, getting the institution sign that contract, it's sometimes really hard because, well, everything is in place. So contractually, everything is, you know, it's frames already. This is why it's framework. So there's nothing can be changed, but somehow it's really hard for institutions to sign. So I don't know. So this is important for us because, again, we have the deadline, and if they're not signing any contracts, we're not going to move and we are going to be in trouble with the European Commission.
Is there any, this is like a third question. Is there any, feedback about the adoption and the applications, you know, geographically speaking, are there countries that are more active than others, or is it any kind of, minimal amount of adoption that we need to cope with in every country, or is it totally, you know, flat in this respect of people?
No, well, we did, if you do a tender, you need to submit what the value of each of the lots, right? But this was kind of like, well, it was, we made sure that the value of the EC funds, which actually, you know, be able to drop in every country also all at once. But of course, as you can imagine, we would like to distribute it as much as possible, right? Spread the love, spread the funding. And you can see some of the countries now, the Netherlands somehow is quite active with clouds. With the funds, we actually would like to spread it. And the coolest will be actually to stimulate the countries that it's still a bit low, right? The consumption. Sure. So, But again, it all depends on the quality of the proposal. Yeah.
The mini desk of competition is like the most practical approach.
Well, it really depends on your demand. If you are not so much specific, I mean, I'm also a procurement specialist, so this is maybe not fair, but I would actually like to grab this opportunity to also say I'm special, I have special needs, special demands. I want to do a mini competition to actually see what you have for me to provide, you know, and not reuse somebody else's, but actually, you know, say I have my own demands within the framework. So, but this is from, and also a mini competition, I'm doing it continuously, as you know, and it's not so hard. It's actually quite fun to do it. So.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Any other question for Link
or the people which are hopefully seeing the slides this time online? Okay, well, if there are no additional questions or comments, maybe we could close here for the break. Thanks again, Link, for your comprehensive presentation, Olaf.
Thank you.
I think let's try not to miss the opportunity to disseminate about, you know, these calls. And even if time is a concern, but I think it would be very interesting if we could just pass the word. Okay, well, we will resume then in half an hour after the break, and we have this two vendors which will describe their hardware and cloud platforms, and then we'll have our discussion session. So enjoy your coffee break.
Okay.